Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
If you're just tuning in, this is Lara Marie Shainhalls, and I am the producer, editor, host, creator of Sexy Unique Podcast, a podcast where I talk about Vanderpump Rules and what it means to life on this planet. And it's good because I do it, but it's also good because I have people on Patreon who pledge their support to this podcast in a monetary form, and they have made it possible for you to be here today listening to this specific episode. So you know what, if you want to take a moment and thank them, you totally can. It's up to you, but like, I just want you to know that they are the ones. So that being said, thank you to all my beautiful patrons and all my readers of this podcast. And if you want to get involved and you hear this episode of Sexy Unique Podcast and you're like, wow, this woman voiced everything about Vanderpump Rules that I thought was just like so specific to me and my friends, but like is a universal truth about the world, and I would love nothing more than to like help this podcast exist and thrive, all you have to do is go to www.patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And it is there that you will find all the information you need to become a supporter of SUP. And for as little as a $1 per episode pledge, you will have access to so many bonus episodes, so many throwback episodes covering past seasons of Vanderpump Rules that have never been released to the public, and more. So think about like what life means to you and check out patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast to see what life means to me. And now, without further ado, I give to you this week's episode of SUP. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host,
like I'm feeling you.
Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beats, here we go, so in. Come a girl with a friend, you'll be both in. Hotel chilling.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Lara, and welcome back to another amazing episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. Back by popular demand, I must say, it's the one and only Tierney Finster.
Yay, thank you. I'm glad you saw my likes of any comment suggesting I return to the podcast. I kept careful.
I'm in the business of giving the people what they want.
Thank you for wanting me. I definitely wanted to be back.
Yeah, you're an essential part of this podcast and like the Vanderpump Rules like viewing experience.
Yeah, and I had a chance to get in the game with them since I've last been on. So
did you?
Well I had encounters.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was called an insult by a cast member, but I don't want to jump any guns.
Oh, yeah. We won't jump the gun. We'll get
just
to it.
Just saying.
All in good time.
I've earned my due.
You have earned your due. Because we did. I forgot. It's been we so long. So much has happened.
Cunt. What's it called?
Yeah. See you next Tuesday.
We should call it what it is.
We hit up cunt.
Cunt. Yeah.
The premiere party in LA.
Yes, definitely.
A very VIP affair.
It was short-lived, but...
I know.
Super sweet.
It was great. And it was there that James and Billy Lee had some words for you.
Yeah.
Well, or did Billy Lee, she mostly was like...
She was sort of part... She was an accessory.
Yeah.
And it began with a loving, joyous relationship with James. He was encouraging me to dance and film and gave me even a little bit of compliments. And mm-hmm. then we took a photo together and he wanted weed and my friend had the joint. So he gave it to, I asked, you know, for it. We all hit it. James keeps it for a long time. Billy Lee had already walked by us leaving the party outside and got into her lift with like some partner who I won't describe in any more detail. And then James knocked on the window while carrying the joint and like gave it to her and was saying famous shit.
Wow.
As to... really, you know, be famous rebels and smoke the joint in the lift and also to like take it from me. And then anyway, we were making kind of a joke to him like, well, he wanted to keep the joint. I wanted Nico to take it back because he's not a fan of the show, doesn't know much about the program. There was a lot left, honey. Just get your weed, whatever.
Yeah, he was being generous.
Exactly. And then like I got in the car and he's screaming that we were peasants and spit on the car.
And I didn't realize he spit on the car.
Yeah, and before he did that, I had made a joke being a little tipsy. Well, I would make this joke anytime, but because it's just fact of life that I have a lot of weed influencer, like, you know, abilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And was like, babe, we'd be happy to provide you more product through some of our favorite partnered brands, but you got to just give him back the joint right then. And he was like, yeah, right. If you were, you wouldn't be trying to collect this joint. And I felt like going to Disneyland and then getting to stay in the hotel and having breakfast with the characters in the morning.
Yeah.
It was exactly like that because, like, in reality, getting called a peasant or being, you know, mocked for your, like, inability to fork over the weed would be bad. And for Nico, it was just sort of neutral bad. But for me, it was sort of a delightful neutral.
You
know what I mean?
It's a rite of passage.
What else would James Kennedy be up to?
It's like you took the picture with Goofy.
Exactly.
And like got and Minnie did. Mouse's autograph. Yeah.
Yeah. Like signs. Sheena Marie and her mom, who I was thinking is like.
Her favorite sidekick is Erica.
Dude, she is the Kimmy to Sheena's Anna Nicole Smith. Like mm-hmm. cousin Kimmy.
Yeah.
I was loving that she was there that night. That felt special.
That was special. And Sheena looked great that night.
And Sheena was really cool, I gotta say. Like, I mean, is Sheena really cool in general?
That shocked me.
Who knows? But she felt very warm and like, I don't dare I say grounded in comparison to what I see play out on the show.
I was at Tom Tom a couple weekends ago and Sheena came in very briefly mm-hmm. and she spoke with Tom and Ariana I was sitting at the same table as they were. And Sheena had just, I think, either come from or was going to Reseda.
Oh my God.
And I was like, dude, this feels so right.
I was so excited just to see the Valley in this week's episode in Studio City. But if I actually got to catch one of the Vanderpump cast in Reseda, a favorite suburb, it would be so special to me.
I feel like if you stick around the Valley long enough, years from now, they'll be there. Yeah, they'll eventually end up there. I plan to, so. Yeah.
Lucky me. I mean, I'm surprised, like, one of them doesn't have... If they were smart, they would already have a fucking house in the Valley.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But they're WeHo babes at heart.
I've been to the apartment where they live. I tell Brian this. I tell my boyfriend as we're watching. I was like, Gino, well...
Oh, yeah, you have.
Do you know what I'm saying? I've not been to their apartments, but to truly know the ins and outs of this sort of, like, wide oblong apartments in West Hollywood that they live in just kind of, like, yeah, it satisfies me. I like feeling so intimate to their experience, but it's also not an experience I would want.
No, it's like you get to live in the universe somewhat, but like you don't have to deal with it.
And that's why when I'm like coming over to do this and I'm like on Melrose and see all these sort of stores or restaurants that I really just would never think to go to, New Hollywood, if you will, I'm kind of interested in wondering like where they've gone or where they might be.
I know they're, I feel like though, they will always choose, like, they've upgraded their restaurant choices, yes, yeah. But, like, they're still existing in some, like, restaurant neither world that I can't, like, that I wouldn't go to,
yeah,
nor would anyone that I, like, trust their tastes go to. Yeah,
and it's not even because it's, like, at least in my experience, and I would even say ours, it's not, like, in a pretentious way, it's, like, they just go to weird places.
They like weird shit. Yeah. Like, I mean, they have more money than me or anyone else I know right now.
That's what I'm saying.
So, like, they could go to Sunset Tower.
Well, that's why I don't know why they don't have a house in the Valley.
No, yeah. And I'm like,
they have this shitty
ass apartment.
But they
still decide to go to, like, Mona Lisa or wherever the fuck they were going.
Dude, I kind of want to jump the gun, but they even had an old Hollywood night at somewhere that looked to be in Koreatown.
It was definitely, yeah, I think the clientele I noticed seemed like casual. Like they were all wearing like jeans and hoodies. Yeah. And then
I thought they were going to Musso and Frank. I thought it was going to be like an actual, why not? You're already in Hollywood, babe. Why don't you stick to Hollywood?
Can you film at
Musso
and Frank? Probably not.
True.
I know. So that's like, I give them credit for
they
that.
They just
got to
do
like,
what they can.
But it's like, you
How
would
about
not...
age out of a fucking theme then?
Yeah.
Go out.
Guess what? You can have girls' night and not dress up like some Shirley Temple hooker.
You know what I always say, but I used to think this was just about Britney, but it's about all of them, is that they're always, whenever they dress up, it looks like they're dressing for Christmas.
Yeah.
They love velvets and heavy sequins.
And a dark lip.
Dark lips.
Lace.
And champagne color. Like the lightest color they use is champagne. It's just also... wintry, God, for Los Angeles.
It was really wintry.
But
I was like,
more than
that
just
was
yesterday
summer.
Or yeah. Whenever, yeah.
They should really take a page out of the Gaga handbook and start doing like slouchy menswear.
Ooh.
Like they could really use like a little masculine
Ariana's
touch.
Ariana's the only one that plays with stuff like that. And sometimes it works out really good for her. And even in the old Hollywood motif, her like,
I appreciated her
revealing
like,
red look was
flamenco dancer, yeah. Bordello blood
to
look.
To me, that was the masculine menswear.
When I saw the like ruffle on her sleeve, that's made me appreciate
really
it more.
Yeah. She's doing Cher.
Yeah. I was shocked.
They all just look, I'm obsessed with how.
They look like, yeah, they look like how I. used to get dressed up when
Winter
I would have
formal.
To go to my dad's office Christmas party.
Yeah, that's
like put
like
a barrette in my hair.
Crushed velvet, like weirdly silver and fake diamond tiara, like barrettes.
Raquel looked kind of hip. She looked a little more hip.
Yeah, but she came in with that jean jacket.
The jean jacket was downplaying
Raquel's
her glam.
Eyelashes. Make her seem as though she's perpetually rolling on ecstasy.
She probably is.
maybe that's why she's so forgiving.
She's so forgiving and so just like wide-eyed.
And I don't say this to like, I'm not definitely not mocking how any of them specifically look per se. I'm just loving an analysis of beauty trends, beauty styles, presentations. And I think for people with as many resources and sponsored services as them, they have just crazy weird taste.
They have really bizarre taste, but I love seeing it play out. And I
you know, go back and forth.
Yeah. And you know what? They're on a public platform and this podcast, it's our job to say what
honey,
we feel.
You serve the look and I evaluate it.
Yeah.
I would love to do makeup with any of the Vanderpump girls. So
that sounds like a good deal. And I feel like they could really benefit from some of that, especially Katie, because her lip liner was really, it was actually killing my soul. It took me out of the scene.
One time I thought that I was too harsh about Katie talking about the lipstick choices and stuff. I think the first time you invited me on this podcast, and I no longer regret any of that. Yeah, because it's just like the mixture of the accessorizing, the lip color, and the pointed, serious voice when really, you know, like when they're during that whole girls' night, I feel like she gets into like this very,
I'm like,
disciplinary tone.
Yeah.
That is both a hushed, weird thing, and I just cannot. Honestly, this was one of the worst episodes of Vanderpump Rules I ever watched.
This is actually, I agree. It was maybe the worst episode of Vanderpump Rules I've ever seen. At the end of it, I found myself filled with rage.
Yeah.
I was like, how dare you put me through this?
I know.
How dare you? I've given you so much.
Exactly.
We've all given you so much.
And there's
this
so
is
much
what we
magic at play.
Yeah, there's so much they could be doing other than what they, the bullshit that was
that
pulled in this
to.
Episode. And that's going to be dragged out
the
now
whole fucking
for
time.
Like, for at least like three more episodes.
I can't. I mean, thank God Tom Tom opened so that we have something to look. I haven't been there yet, so I'm going to see it on the show. And
I know, but this was like, it truly, this episode had such an overly produced feel and like just.
It was absolutely
every scene
horrible.
It was like, I felt tortured by the end.
What I noted as like the jumping shark moment for me was seeing Raquel be taken seriously in the testimonial and have really be given a platform and a voice in a more significant way.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most offensive moment of it to me, because Raquel is somebody who last season was actually one of the best little gifts of the show. She's like a Dogberry Shakespearean lighthearted joy, jester, clueless.
She's like the cherry on top of like a delicious hot fudge sundae.
Yeah.
I don't
like
want a
much
bowl full
sweeter
of cherries.
Than the other element.
Yeah. Like I just want the one cherry.
Exactly. I cannot deal with really having to hear her contextualize reality because she's frankly not existing in it.
No.
And I mean, I'm into her doing Pilates in Saratoga or wherever the hell is Pleasantville or like. Where does she live? But I don't know. I'm into some of the aspects of her life, but I just feel really sickened at seeing how she's being incorporated.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think for me, the jumping the shark moment was including like Teddy from Real Housewives with her plea to like hire her brother.
I got excited there.
I did.
But
I
so
was
produced.
Kind of excited, but I was also just like, God, like,
there's
can
so
we not,
many people.
Yeah,
so
there's so many people in this world. Like, do we really need to pretend that a Mellencamp offspring is hard up for cash and needs a job at Sir?
I mean, it's just ridiculous because what I can't wait to see is who this brother is. Like, why do you want to do this, bruh?
Yeah, I mean, I guess why
are
you
trying
you
to launch
to? But yeah, what are you trying to launch?
He's like, I really like this restaurant. What if I work
no
here?
One in there also no one in their fucking right mind would apply for a job at Sir at this point.
There's a lot of nice restaurants in LA.
There's a lot. You could even apply
you
for
make
one
a lot
at
of
pump,
money. Yeah.
At tump, dump. At pump. That is, I'm going to start calling
at dump.
Pump dump.
Pump's a dump.
Sir is now like blur to me, and pump is dump.
Tom-Tom.
Tom-Tom's still cool.
Nom-Nom.
Yeah, Nom-Nom. I love it there. I've been there 7 times, about to go an 8th. Like, yeah. I stan. Okay, so let's get into this episode. Uh-huh. It begins on a really high note with James taking to the streets of West Hollywood.
I'm a star.
He's not wrong.
No, I was like, cool.
He is a star. He's compelling.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. But he crosses a major line and he body shames Katie.
I love how you act like you coincidentally invited me on here. Just like you coincidentally invited me on when Jax watched BBW porn.
She wants me to bring my body politics here. She's going to think that I'm doing some calculated move
I'm
to
honored.
Get into body. But you know what?
The universe is bringing us together to discuss
these important issues.
And to literally cultivate truth.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it was horrible. I mean,
that's not okay to say to anyone,
of course not.
But I'm also like, I really have an eye roll,
the Katie of it all,
of like Katie being the like body positive one just because she's like 10 pounds heavier than the other girls.
Yeah, and it's like, it's really hard to judge anyone's experience of that, but we obviously know that the women on the show prefer to be skinny. They enforce all sorts of, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Words like, it's so funny because even when you brought up Teddy Mellencamp, I was thinking how, like, I don't believe in diet culture or, like, diet narratives, especially on social media where so much bullshit gets propagated as, like, helpful, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Services or whatever, elixirs. But then I also low-key want Teddy Mellencamp to keep me accountable. I'm like, what magazine can pay for me to
to hire
as
Teddy?
As if it's like the 60s and I'm going to be on assignment for life with Teddy Mellencamp.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, she's part of it too because she's like, she used to be a lot heavier. Now she's skinny.
Teddy did?
Yeah, she was like.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She was almost 100 pounds heavier. So that's pretty interesting. Everybody loves to see somebody that's truly ripped.
Yeah.
Like actually be fat before.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's off topic. But just like all of these people's body politics are so murky that for anybody to take the position, you know what I mean? Of like.
Yeah. And I just like, I get like. I've been like called fat by someone before and it sucks. It like sent me into a spiral and it was like a whole thing. And I don't think that that's right for him to do that. I think that's really disrespectful, but I'm just like something about Katie being like the face of like body, like positivity just like makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't feel authentic to me.
Well, she just wants James fired.
Yeah. Everyone just wants James fired.
And I mean, I do.
They're kind of like, jealous haters.
Oh, they definitely are. Okay. I mean, I do think that like in a workplace setting,
you shouldn't say that kind of
stuff. I mean, I've definitely been called fat by a million strangers on the internet or like, I don't know, in a kid way probably, but like could you imagine somebody at work really do you know what I mean?
You're like, hey, clocking into your like office job and then someone's like what you shouldn't wear those shorts, darling. And it's so flattering.
I know.
And flicking their cigarette
but
at
like
you.
That is so real because I'm sure plenty of fucking people have thought that about me, especially walking into like large offices where I don't know, I'm there doing something a little bit more creative than everyone else.
Yeah.
Lucky me. But
like
that's
saying that and thinking it are two different
things.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, totally. So that's why. But I mean, you think people who have insecurities think people are thinking that kind of stuff all the time. So for Katie, it is like a huge, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure a huge fear realized or whatever, but I did think it was fun to have Tom with the opportunity to like
stand up for his woman.
Yeah.
Take a stand
for once. Everyone's always calling him a pussy and stuff. So funny. I mean, I thought it was hilarious how he approached James, but James didn't actually mimic the call and response Tom wanted, which was Katie's not fat. She's
sexy
and
luscious. And beautiful.
Yeah.
He goes, say it. And then James is just silent for like 10 seconds. And he goes, she's beautiful.
He's like, I know.
But and also,
it
like,
feels like a loss when you don't get the person to say it.
Yeah.
When you say, say it.
When you say, say it, and they don't say it.
You better
and then,
make them say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, then it's up to you then to, like...
To enforce.
Yeah. And then if you just walk away, it's almost like, what was the point?
I could easily get James to make. Oh, you say
could.
It.
For sure. We both could.
I know.
Like... Tom, like, I just have a problem too with, like, it's like, okay, well, Tom Schwartz is now going to step into this role of, like, he's standing up for his wife and, like, he's really learned his lesson. And I'm just like, I roll at that too.
It's also I roll, and this isn't something that is extremely emphasized in the show. It often, like, compared to other things, it could be have been exploited more, but it's also always the I roll when we're supposed to, like, clap men for celebrating their not size zero wife or girlfriend. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that was a very like that meme that went around
with the like,
it was like, I love my curvy girlfriend.
Wife, yeah.
Or like, I love my curvy wife. And it's like, okay, great. You can just be like, don't talk to my wife like that.
Tons of people want to fuck everybody.
Yeah. Every, like, there's someone.
That's my truth.
There's someone for everyone.
Yeah, but also, even beyond that, there's a ton of people who want women with all sorts of bodies. And that's just like a cultural myth that we don't allow, especially on television and in shows. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's hilarious. And that's part of this, like, why Katie's feeling a sort of feminist, you know, positioning from it all too, because she's an example of like, she wants to be the curvy wife. I think it is probably an anxiety relieving approach to doing the show, where instead of having to feel constantly in conflict about being insecure or feeling fat.
Mm-hmm.
And literally last year we already had, oh, what's his name? Bobby Lee, right? Or,
oh yeah.
Like, call her fat.
Kevin
too.
Lee.
Kevin Lee. Sorry. Bobby Trendy.
You're thinking of Bobby Trendy and Kevin Lee, who are like two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, I mean, the flamboyancy of their design taste.
Yeah.
It was confusing. I'm glad we got to mention so many.
I love like a doppelganger situation where it's like you're so specific, but then there's like another one of you that's like exactly
I would love to meet the other me.
Yeah, same. I'm looking to meet the other me.
Gemini, you have one out there.
Also, like, I kind of call bullshit on, like, fat still being, like, a bad word.
You think?
Kind of. Like, I mean,
but you
it
know
has
the way
negative,
he's saying it is
well, yeah,
bad.
The way he's saying it is, like, meant to be, like, an insult.
Bad.
But I'm just like, how do you, like, reclaim that and or take, like, the power out of it or something
yeah.
like that?
I mean, I don't really know. Like, I don't – I think I use the word fat, but I don't, like – It's not to say, I don't think I've really stripped emotion from it either, though. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I don't feel like, I don't wear, but it's also part of the culture in which we live where when we do take certain powers out of certain things, we immediately like commercialize and commodify it to be something lame.
Yeah.
So it's like,
to be like an Instagram
do I use
cause.
Fat as a word, as a descriptor about myself more regularly now than ever before? Yes. Do mm-hmm. I feel like chill and like just descriptive about that or whatever? Sure. But like it, to me, the reason I feel, I don't know, there's so many shirts that are like fat babe, just like Katie's feminist shirt, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then sort of like it makes me feel alienated from the word just as I wanted to be alienated from it before.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, totally.
For a whole different reason.
I can't really imagine anyone would love to like rock a fat babe shirt.
But there's tons. And that is like part of like what you're saying though is like, oh, should we reclaim it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm just interested in like what like that process even looks like or what it would be. Cause I can't, like I don't.
But I think you also have a different relationship to it because you are being like, you've been called fat. You've been, you know, most yeah. women of all sizes have some sort of fat shaming experience, mm-hmm. but it's like, it's a little bit less of a solidified identity when you know that it's a perspective or emotional type thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know that you're not fat or yeah. like never really have been fat, mm-hmm. right? But it doesn't mean that you're not made to feel fat or whatever.
Yeah. Or so, have negative connotations that go even beyond like what the word fat means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's also body, like to put a little bow on the whole Katie thing, it's like, when you talk about her as being an interesting voice of body positivity, there's a lot of critiques of, oh, who gets to have this conversation and we don't want to call anybody out of the conversation. We want to call people into it, mm-hmm. which I do believe in. But at the same time, so many of the people who get to be the best, most successful, lucrative, monetizing body positivity advocates are like Katie, a size 10 or 12. Like Katie's not a 14. You know what I mean? Katie's yeah. not shopping in plus size stores. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's sort of like, chill, great, but I want to be a fat reality show sex symbol already. And then I should be able to get to have the body positivity storyline. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's very telling. Like, Lisa does not employ anyone that would be considered fat. Like, there is no one, like, on the show or in any of her restaurants that would be, that would, like, qualify under that.
Exactly. And also, I mean, the thing with Katie that we all want to allow growth, as we should. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. when reality shows, even as produced or manufactured at times as they are, like documents of real experience to some degree. So sure, have we seen all these characters have some degree of emotional like development over these years? Sure. But I think it is so minimal in some cases that it just sort of feels disingenuous when we have people who have definitely propagated like super pro skinny, you know, very narrow standards of beauty. Stassi was, you know, mocking Jax for watching BBW porn, whatever. It's just all hilarious. Like, that this is, and this is something that has kept me as somebody who is largely a politicized person, like, from even really addressing ideas of fatness in a sociocultural way like this, because it seems like that oftentimes, even though there are things like fat people earn less money or fat people are perceived as lazy and unsexual and unhappy and all these negative things that aren't necessarily true, it's like it's a social experience or like category that doesn't have the same kind of repercussions or vulnerabilities as so many other identities. So mm-hmm. it's like I see how people, especially like sub people, are you know, calling out the show also for not actually having much actual queer representation, for being a WeHo pride, you know, aligned show. And it's kind of the same thing where it's like, it's very safe for like a size 10 white girl who has been called fat to be the voice of Me Too, Time's Up, body positivity, all in two episodes on this show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. So Katie's now just like trying to be like the woke princess,
Gloria Steinem, yeah.
Gloria Steinem of Vanderpump Rules, and I remain.
And that's why she uses that tone I was speaking.
It
about.
Is her serious, like
it's
woke
because she
tone.
She was an actor.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So she's like
a performer. Yeah, she's being. Yeah, she does like have more of a confidence when it comes to her vocabulary now, because you remember like drunk Katie used to always like misspeak or say like the wrong word, and now she's using like big words like derogatory and misogynistic, and like she does it like she says them over and over because she's had to teach them to herself.
Exactly, we hear it,
but like we get it, like let's move on. You fucking narc.
Katie, if you want to do a nude body positive shoot with me, I'm here for it. If you want to really show the world what body positivity means.
I love that.
Let's get in combo.
Body positivity challenge.
Laura, I might think you're a faker, but challenge.
James says that he was having the best day ever at Sir, and then it turned into the worst day of his fucking life.
What did he say? He was saying something so funny to me. Like, he was being like, boom, boom, boom. It was like, boom, boom,
boom.
Boom,
boom, boom, boom. I had the best day ever.
And then it was the worst day.
And then it was the worst day. And Raquel, frankly, she doesn't know what to believe.
Oh my God, she needs more proof. I was like, what does she need? The condom? Like, what does she want? Yeah. Videos? Like, does she want the tape that, like,
but wouldn't
Jackson face style?
Be like a ton of text messages? Like, I don't think anyone's.
What
like,
proof do you need besides everybody telling you something?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think she even cares.
She's
really.
Like, I think they were coming for me more than you to James the next day, when it's like, in what situation do you think people telling you that your boyfriend who you just moved in with and probably do a bunch of weird, like, I could see her like secretly paying for a bunch of shit, or I don't know, just like supporting him in some way.
I think it's like,
even if
she serves an emotional support and maybe like a beard in some cases, or like something to distract from like the Logan storyline that happened last season.
Totally.
And like, she's very like pretty and like,
you know, she's like a confirmation of his like sexual prowess and masculinity.
Well, she said, bottom line, I want to be with James. Like she like heard it almost like, bottom line, I want to be with James, which is like,
okay. So it's like, there's not much you can do when someone comes at you with that argument. It's like Britney when she was like, I just love him and I want to be with him. And it's like, they don't care at the end of the day
but
if they're dating a cheater or not.
Even. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think like the way we talk about Jackson Britney is so judgmental, clearly, as it should be, you know, as it evidences itself to be worthy of given the show. But the reality is plenty of people have relationships that have huge things that have happened or trust issues or I don't, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
People
and infidelities, like that's not out of the norm by any means. But it's just the way that they handle it, where it's like all the lying and then like the disrespect that come that's like around all of that.
Yeah.
That's more problematic than like actually sleeping with someone else.
Exactly. Just like how I think Raquel, it's really hard to I mean, I don't want to say respect her, but it wasn't just the cheating that was there for her to listen to. It was all of the ways that James was speaking, right? Which it's like, once again, as packaged by Katie for like this whole arc, whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm less interested in that, but I'm really interested in Raquel normalizing. Like, I was just laughing, like, next to my boyfriend thinking, imagine if he was really just being, I was like, have you ever spoke like that? He's like, no, just like, this fucking whore. Like, ignore the fucking whore.
Tell that whore to shut the fuck up. Yeah. It's like, whoa, you're so mad. But also, it's like, James, I think the bigger issue here is that James is like, has deep substance abuse problems and like crazy mommy issues and like that's why he hates women so much and like defaults to like whore like
and
body shaming
his mom
and all that.
Is like he's like one of those people that thinks his mom is a whore for not being with his dad when his dad wasn't rich.
And we've seen like the mother-son dynamic, like it's fucking one of the darkest things ever about Vanderpump Rules. So like,
and one of the sexiest.
It's both. And that would be such like a more interesting conversation to have than like posturing about these like other issues. Like, yes, they exist, but like, let's go deeper. Like, that's not who the fuck cares. I don't care that James like called.
Everything has been a repeat.
Yeah. It's just like, they're doing like what The Bachelor does or something where they like recap a whole bunch of shit that happened in like the episode before. And I'm just like, let's
moving
move
on.
Where's the action?
Where, like, isn't somebody getting a tan or Botox?
Yeah,
where's
like, I would wait. Where's Lala this episode?
Right? What is with that?
I don't know.
Maybe
I'm just
something
like,
happened.
I would rather see them like shopping for swimsuits and
no
talking
wonder.
About.
I miss Lala.
Yeah. Lala was like the missing link of this episode. But also it's like, they could do any mundane activity. Like, I don't need them to have these, like, manufactured setup conversations. You can literally, like, hear a director calling, like, action. And then they, like, start speaking to each other. I'm just, like, I'm irritated.
I mean, yeah, for me, Raquel, this episode was even worse than the 80s moment, the thing of last week.
Raquel goes, she's talking to Hope and she's like, he broke your heart like he does. She knows her man's a heartbreaker. And then she knows a really good line where she's like, I mean, I love Raquel. Like, she just got out of college. Sheena just loves, like, Raquel's youth and beauty.
I feel like I need to be the big sis. Like,
Sheena, no one looks up to you. Like,
wait, that. What's with this?
They're smug.
Once again, the makeup motif for Pride with this, like,
weird glitter.
David Bowie-esque, but not actually like applique on the eye.
This whole Pride.
And then also I love when Hope was talking to Raquel right there and she also modulates her voice to be like, I slept with him. We've been sleeping together for 3 years.
She's 3 years.
She sounds like an old smoker.
Raquel's like, can I talk to Hope alone? And then Kristen's standing there and she's like, are you okay? Are you going to be okay?
I hate this.
And then they leave and Kristen goes, be kind. Like, as though kindness is her number one prerogative in life. My Kristen, God. Kristen.
My dude.
Everyone needs to get a grip. It's also like Kristen's sober. She's sober, so she's going into like kind mom mode. She's sober on this day because she needed to be sober to like get hope in the door.
Did you see how I stuck there? Like, yeah, whoa, holy shit. Like, happy to clear that up. You're like, this day.
On this one day, she was sober and then served up some nonsense.
I just don't get why we can't. As somebody that is truly so dramatic, I understand that maybe her relationship isn't in peril or something, but I feel like there must be interesting things. Like Dodie in the world, there's so many possible conflicts day to day. So why do we have to see this stupid shit? Like, we have to have her dragging herself into this relation, this horrible rebound, toxic relationship from so long ago. And I just feel that she resents James so much for getting on the show by sleeping with her and then becoming the star of it.
Yeah. And like, I understand her urge to want to like take him down or make one man on this show like pay for their behavior because they never are held up to the same standards as she was in season two. But it has to, at some level, be kind of like she's re-traumatizing herself every time she has to like confront James about something or like even really like deal with him or connect her life to him.
I would rather see her getting drunk and cooking the dog's meat despite her vegetarianism.
Yeah, same. I'm like, I just want like a fly on the wall perspective of all of their lives. Like, I don't need this much like story. I want
the next 80s like fake packaging to be I Love Lucy, but Dodie and Carter.
Stassi is talking shit about James and then he's right there. And
that was cool.
That was cool. And then throughout this whole Pride thing, and even like at different points in the episode, but specifically in Pride, Jesse Montana, Billy Lee, and Jeremy are lurking in every shot.
Yeah.
Like the three of them are just standing there, like waiting for their moment to like shine. It's very bizarre.
Hasn't come yet.
It hasn't come yet. And honey, if it hasn't come yet, it probably never will.
I would love to see Jeremy be a regular.
Would you rather have him be a regular than Raquel?
Yeah.
Totally. Same kind of.
Like, I really was thinking hard and long about how Jeremy could be used for some very interesting and irreverent plot lines that really like skewer masculinity, you know? Mm-hmm. And instead, he's just there with his top off all the time.
He's there with his top off and like a side pony.
He's like the epitome of like if I downloaded Tinder in West Hollywood, like straight West Hollywood Tinder.
Yeah. They're all the epitome of that. James starts screaming pumptini at Jax. And then,
I love it
when he goes down
that.
It was
so funny. When he's like,
let me get a shot, pumptini. And then tries to like pinch Jax's like shirt. And it's just like, oh, he's gone.
I love it too. And he's like, my mate, a grapefruit and soda. Grapefruit and soda, you fucking idiot.
I love him. And then he goes frolicking into the kitchen where Lisa is there and gives him
a stern
talking to. But then also,
how stern was it though?
Not stern, because then she just turns to Raquel and she's like, for the rest of the day you need to be in charge of his drinking, make sure he doesn't drink a sip. I'm sorry to put you in charge, but now you are. Get him under. And it's like, no one on the show like understands addiction or like any part of it.
I could not imagine, having seen James behave the way he did, that I was describing, not even colorfully as it actually was at the beginning of this, like during See You Next Tuesday, to imagine that being something that happened 1 to 3 or whatever times a week regularly for months this year. It totally exhausted and freaked me out about what's going on in production. Like, what's going on with everyone? Because it was very erratic. It was just too, it was sickly behavior.
Yeah. That's like, that's the bigger conversation, is like, this person is seriously, like, something is wrong. It's not like, oh, you're saying disrespectful things and that's the worst thing that's going on. It's like, you are like, you are using too many drugs and drinking too much, and you might need to like go to rehab or get sober, or like we need to have a serious conversation about like your drinking and
film
drugging.
Film that.
Yeah. But like, then, let's have an intervention. I would love an intervention
love it.
Episode.
The mom too, that's and the James, brothers, yeah, little brothers.
Everyone.
I mean, I just think it was interesting how Raquel was very adamant about not about blaming it on drinking and mm-hmm. how I understood the reaction from Katie and other people there to be like, this isn't just about drinking because he's a misogynist or he's rude or, you know, otherwise yeah. too. But at the same time, I loved Brittany making a big issue of like not blaming the alcohol because it was basically like, you know, drinking's fine. You know, like.
Brittany's like, we all get a little drunk sometimes.
She's like, we need to. I get it. But.
Brittany has just such an eloquence to her.
She's like, actually the best speaker on the show.
She's like, you got to admit, he's done some real shitty shit.
I love it.
She's really like leaning into her Southern roots more now than ever.
As she should, because she's like, I'm hot, I'm famous, I'm engaged.
Yeah, she's done it all.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Is Brittany the hero we never knew that we needed?
I feel Brittany has the most legs of anybody on the cast right now in terms of entertainment career prospects.
Wow, I love that.
That's the thing, yeah.
I don't know what to think of anyone because I was so not entertained by this episode exactly. that I'm like, I'm giving up.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Brittany moving on to new crews and new groups and new presenter style fandom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. A lifestyle. She's a brand.
Yeah, I think she successfully has brand built potential. Her brand really quickly.
Tom Schwartz, the next day, is hungover, and it's just, like, really gross to me. I can't.
Wait, this was, actually, this was the first episode I ever fell asleep during. It's true.
Yeah.
Like, it moved into a sexuality kind of phase, and then sleep for me, mm-hmm. and my person next to me, and then we watched it yesterday, like, from the part that he had already finished it, but then I made it rewatch it, and I was like, hey, when we watched this scene, do you remember how it began a conversation about how neither of us really get very drunk with each other, like hardly ever, you mm-hmm. know, because he was basically being like, oh, you've never seen me really drunk. And I was like, yeah, I have, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, but I mean really drunk. And I was like, well, I hope I don't then. I mean, I don't know, a wedding, something that, like,
yeah,
sure. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be that kind of drunk as somebody who I feel lucky that I get to have a fun relationship with drinking for someone that definitely, like, pushed things to the limit a lot as mm-hmm. a younger person. And anyway, so when we were rewatching that part, I was like, babe, I just want you to know this is what I never fucking want. Like, this to me is the ultimate depression. Like, I cannot.
Yeah. Just like laying there, just like wanting to eat like shitty food and just being like, buh, 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 buh,
the sweatshirt. You know, you're yeah. hot. You're like, you're cold, but you're hot. The muumuu.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was cool. I like that he defaults to like a dress when he feels like weakened.
Exactly. And not that I don't think that there isn't, I believe you can celebrate life as much as you'd like at any time. You don't need to, I don't want to seem like, oh, I only think you can binge drink on weddings or birthdays or whatever. But it's just like, I think that, like, if I'm drinking to the point of developing a major hangover, I hope that I was having jubilant fun.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they were all just like talking shit with one another in gendered groups and the same, you know what I mean? It's just the same old. It's like,
yeah.
Hungover is the Vanderpump way.
Yeah.
And I actually did, you know, holiday drinking vibes. I drank two nights in a row and I saw you in between that for just a minute. And like, I felt so horrible for like 3 days after that experience. And then I was feeling I was just like, but that I was, this is how the Vanderpump people feel all the time. Like just like bumming around LA, like one breakfast burrito, one joint, one cocktail to the other.
Yeah. Like I could smell, I like it when I can smell the hangover on people.
Yeah.
But I didn't even enjoy like the hangover that he was serving. Cause it was just like, I felt like he was like being oppressive to me personally with like his neediness.
He's the actor. Or like maybe it was just real vivid emotion.
Katie tells Tom about James's antics and declares she's over the body shaming and the misogyny. And then I just like mentally flash back to her like body shaming and slut shaming Lala when she got like topless in Hawaii. Anyways.
There it is. There it is.
James and Raquel are building a coffee table or a side table of some sort.
Ew.
And their dog is so cute.
It's super cute, but how disgusting when they're talking about how the dog's really hyper with that whole environment and then the hyper dog, you know, it's just so chaotic.
They're like,
their apartment, like their whole aesthetic with this dog is just like, it's like what VR, being like a, in a VR experience.
Yeah, it's Sims.
Like it's not like the good old days when like Tom and Kristen were stuck in that shithole apartment and he's like struggling to build where like a $50 coffee table from IKEA. Yeah, where he still resides.
That's what I'm saying. Why can't he? Where's the, like, in the valley?
Where's the fucking like raw? There's like, that's what this is
because
missing.
They're fake.
Yeah.
They're fake. They're on amphetamines and lash extensions and like, I don't know.
I like the dog like treating Raquel like she's like a human chew toy because she like is a human like, chew. He's like,
sometimes like, he gets confused if I'm a real dog or not.
And James says that Hope is lying and they only had sex 2.5 years ago before Raquel lie.
She was always around.
And Raquel's like, if you cheated on me, I just want you to tell me. And he's like, totally. And then that's the conversation that they have about that.
Totally.
And Peter calls to disinvite James.
What low stakes is that?
Which Peter, you know, is like so excited that he
gets to do that.
One line. He gets like, I think I heard through the grapevine that the cast only gets paid in episodes that they actually like show up and speak in. So Peter's like excited to have one paycheck this season for being on a show.
We didn't even see him. We just heard him.
Yeah. But then later we see him at his birthday. His, he gets one line at the birthday and then like one line later on.
I was really enjoying that. And I mean, I know that's your collaborator, Peter, but I was just feeling
my writing partner.
I was like, what stakes could be lower than being disinvited to this
Peter's
party?
Peter Madrigal's birth and Carter, the two literal snooze fests of the show.
Carter, what is his deal? If he had any ounce of personality, they would film it. So.
Yeah, he is just like avatar. He's like a hologram person.
He's kind of cute,
but like he's just like nothing.
Not as, at least as we, far as we know.
So James is not even really like that upset. But then Raquel goes, actions have consequences.
I'm like,
she's, you're drinking, bad things are gonna happen.
I hate the way she speaks and you're doing it so well.
She wants James to stop drinking completely.
Yeah.
Not even a sip of alcohol.
I watched Raquel being live on Instagram making gingerbread houses.
Oh my God.
And a lot of people were commenting, you're stoned. You're stoned, Raquel.
Did she address the rumors? No.
But so many people were saying it, and I was just loving it as though that was something worth commenting. You're like, repeatedly, like it was such juicy gossip that Raquel smokes weed.
Raquel blazes 24/7, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I love being on a reality show as like saucy as Vanderpump Rules, and then like in your Instagram like lives you do like really innocent like baby things like
build gingerbread houses
and like
yeah. It's a kind of balance I definitely seek.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Meanwhile, at Sir, Peter has his other line in the show, which is just to act as like a hype man for Vanderpump Rosé.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. This moment. My God. I'm obsessed with that moment.
He holds up the bottle. He's like, and this is what everyone really likes. And then like Vanderpump's shows the label like to the camera, uh-huh. Essentially.
And she's like, it's like nectar.
It's the nectar of the gods. And it's like, okay,
great. Call it nectar so casually.
So gross. The word nectar is disgusting to me.
I like how you have this, like, nectar.
Nectar.
It sounds like necker.
Necker. Nectar.
Nectar.
It's There's kind of an bar. ASMR
Yeah, I
word.
Like it. But
thinking of nectar feels
having
like
having a commercial
thick.
Built into your reality show that's already a commercial for your restaurants, great.
I mean, it's run of the mill.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like, you could just try and do that like a little less explicitly.
No, they could have been drinking it with Teddy.
Yeah.
There could have been.
Do you want alcohol? And Teddy's like, no, just tea for me.
I like how this season is noticeable how, and I don't want to say I like it because it's unfortunate circumstances, but it's interesting how as Lisa basically backs out of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, that she is including more of her personal life, specifically the arc with her having to deal with the aftermath of her brother's suicide. Mm-hmm. Like, you're seeing that play out more on this show. Like, I feel like in seasons past, there wouldn't have been more than one.
She doesn't talk about her personal life on Vanderpump Rules. It's always like she's there to comment on other people's personal lives,
exactly.
Or like mix shit up with them. But now we're having to see her like trot out her various alliances on this show.
Yeah.
And get into her personal stuff, which, like, I mean, I have a lot of empathy for her, like, in the brother situation sounds awful, but also it's like, I didn't come here to see that.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's why I bring it up, because I am a Real Housewives person. So I was pleased to see Teddy and see more of Lisa. But it's like, this isn't really what this is.
No, this isn't what
this
show.
But she is
what
she wants it to be.
Yeah.
As Lisa
Rinna
tweeted.
As the EP, she gets to call the shots.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, someone needs to be like fired or demoted, because something is just like not adding up.
They're on their high horse.
They're on their real high horse.
I know that you wanted to sleep with Sandoval's dad.
Yeah.
You like
him. I love him. I have him in my notes. Sandoval's dad is hot.
I sure know you.
You do know me. Everyone gathers at the Belmont.
Oh.
For the birthday of a lifetime.
As if.
Literally like 7 people show up to celebrate the Madrigal. Lives of both Peter and Carter.
It's also like, why don't you just try having separate parties?
I mean, it's just like an excuse. I love them going to this party to then not film anyone that the party's about. That's like, we're here to film, like, Sheena and Adam show up and they're like dating, whatever, snooze.
Yeah, but then it's even more of a snooze that they don't even, like, they do address it because Brittany addresses it, but they didn't really give us the Sheena bit about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
Which is just pretty juicy. Like, typically if a new relationship is being visualized, we're going to get commentary on it. And so I thought it was sort of strange that only Brittany voiced that.
Yeah. And, like, we didn't get anything from Sheena being like, well, things with Rob didn't crazy. Go well, but now I'm single.
I pledged like, to I'm be dating. Single, I know, but yeah. Sometimes life grabs you fast.
It's weird. It's like we're focusing way too much on this, like, James and Raquel shit. And it's like, okay, well, that storyline has been wrapped up. Raquel doesn't care. So it, like, doesn't really matter so what it's anyone
done.
Else
you
thinks.
You all seem
it's
like
done.
Crazy codependent, like, trauma bonded freaks.
Yeah,
like,
let's talk about Sheena and Adam.
Yeah.
Now we're going to cut to Sheena.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or let's talk to about Sandoval's dad and like have him like focus more on him. Like I am so done with like
the bullshit.
The bullshit.
Give us a story.
Katie's feminist shirt made me want to die.
Especially because it was branded as a rock tee.
It's a rock. Feminist on tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like really fucking with my personal aesthetic.
She got that on tour.
Kristen showed up with like a ton of balloons, which felt like a really insane thing to do.
When you show up with the person, yeah, it is.
She showed up maybe, yeah, and it was like, then I like that they also incorporated that one Sweet Lady Jane cake that like
I
everyone's
know.
Had.
Exactly. I was seeing the box and thinking actually happy that they had something good.
Yeah. And then Sheena, what I did like though is watching Sheena interact with Stassi because she's still so terrified of her after all these years. No. It's just like she can't even like talk in coherent sentences.
I could not believe, I felt like so disappointed with where their conversation was at. And like also Sheena's testimonial of being like, yeah, am I worried that Ariana and Stassi are talking shit about me? Yeah, I am. Now that they're friends, I don't really know where I stand. It's like, isn't she like 33 years old? I mean, I just don't get.
Yeah.
How could you not know where you stand?
Also, I have to say and point out that like everyone is freaking out about the antics of a 26-year-old and they're all like in their mid 30s.
But I also want to point out that I'm the same age as James and was thinking, really feeling myself, feeling like very not adult baby as I sometimes feel.
Yeah. Well, you have like, you're pretty mature.
I'm not a mup. I mean, to literally pander for compliments about how different I am than James Canopy for our age is like a
bravo.
New low. But like, feels pretty good.
Yeah. No. And I'm like, okay, if my friends and I,
but that's like part of the
logic
terrorized. Of the show being challenged, right?
Yeah. Like that doesn't like it doesn't matter what he says, like because he's gonna say whatever and do whatever, and it's just like, okay, this person's fucking nuts, like. Who cares?
Why don't they go have a life so we can film it and watch it? Like, yeah. It just feels like, but I wonder, and that's why I said, oh, I can't wait for Tom Tom to open, because even though it'll be, you know, it's at least that's something that's like a fun development in the lives of people we've seen versus repeating a like side character's side drama that we've been knowing because he's been cheating. Like.
Yeah. And then Sheena, I can't help but notice that her chin feels very sculpted now.
Oh, yeah. Her skin and chin, she has more of a long, it's feeling like long right
it's
here.
It's long, but then it has like sculpted sides around like the bottom of it. It was interesting filler work.
She definitely looks new every season.
She does. She serves like, she's like the Madonna of like
she
facial.
She gives us facial realignment.
Yeah, facial reconstruction.
Which is funny because Stassi, right before her conversation with Sheena, was saying like, I don't wear bras, so I need to get a breast lift every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I was just thinking like, probably will then.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Let's film that.
Yeah.
I'd rather see that than this conversation.
Right, they all got so much work done. It's unfortunate that we don't get to see any of that. It's not
I know.
Fair.
It's really unfair.
But it's part of it becoming a more self-aware program where so much of this like juiciness was about the like just plainness of so much of their grooming, partying. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then we really don't see a lot of that this season as of yet, 2 episodes.
I know. Peter tells Jax that he's back on the Sur schedule. Like,
I mean, could we even pretend that was the whole thing?
Yeah. Like,
like, no.
That's like insulting.
Yeah.
Did one person at all watch this show and be like, oh my God, I hope that Jax gets his job back.
There was zero drama there.
No, the low stakes again. Then Ariana and Stassi decide they're going to join forces and have a joint birthday party.
Okay, my makeup low-key looks like some of their makeup right now from their party, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
you have like a frosty eye.
But mine is actually better, even though it is kind of like, I wanted to make fun of the makeup styles of Lala and different Vanderpump characters today. But then I was like, wow, I did my makeup kind of bad. But then looks kind of good and looks like their party makeup.
It's good. It's like a frosty.
I can't deal with them.
Yeah, it's too much. And like when they flash back to like Ariana not giving Stassi the time of day, I really miss those moments.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was funny. Because like you, if you watch it was the voice season of reason. One, yeah, like Stassi did always like Ariana and did always want to be friends with her. But Ariana was just like, you're a problematic, like,
you're a selfish, immature bitch.
Yeah, and I'm not here for it. But like now,
Ariana's like, blondes have more fun.
Yeah. And I'm like, I get that. And I do kind of like them being friends.
I like them because they are kind of like shenanigans.
They are the two smartest.
And it's so funny when we say smarter, but I just mean literally capable of carrying a personality or storyline. Like, that's why Raquel's part is feeling so bad to me, because it's like she cannot play.
No. She's not playful.
And like Katie kind of can barely play. Dodie only can play one part. But Ariana and Stassi are both more versatile.
Sheena needs to get on like anti-anxiety medication.
Doesn't she smoke a lot of weed? I don't get it.
She does, but like her entire like diatribe about like, are they, you know, are they talking shit about me? Like, do they care? And it's, I was like, calm
literally
down.
One of the most toxic feelings that I definitely have felt is using two friends' increased intimacy as occasion to question how they're going to conspire against you in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like, I feel like if you, the relationships we have, if you don't expect the best from them, even though things could happen where something doesn't, you know, whatever, if you don't expect the best from people, then you cannot actually have a relationship. So for her to really like, even because to me that's so disrespectful to Ariana, right? As someone that really has been Sheena's friend pretty unwaveringly, I think,
for 7 years.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, Ariana's been better than she's had to be even. And so for Sheena, just because they're friends now, to instantly be like, and now I can't tell where I stand in Ariana's world, it's like, what?
But then Ariana reveals that they haven't even been hanging out that much, which is interesting, because I remember at the end of last season, I feel like a big thing that came up over and over on the podcast was like, why are they friends? Like, truly, what is
the, like, besides joining the show?
Yeah, besides joining the show and like having been friends for so long, like, what is the tie that binds them together? Because they seem so different from each other. It's just like, what is there?
Yeah.
So I guess maybe nothing. Katie's having a girls' night and Sheena is not invited.
Oh, I know. It's just like,
and it's just like, whatever.
Wait, I was really feeling like if I was Sheena and found out that Raquel was there and not me, that's a new low.
Yeah.
Why didn't little sis call and invite big sis?
Mm-hmm. I know. Like, what is Sheena's, like, I feel like Sheena's now being punished because she doesn't live in WeHo anymore.
Oh, really?
Where that's probably why she doesn't hang out with anyone, because she lives in Marina Del Rey.
Did she move there by herself?
Yeah.
That is so, like, South Bay of her in, like, a weird way.
It's weird. And I was listening to her podcast and, like, doing the podcast recap for one of the bonus episodes. Yeah. And it was when she announced that she had moved to Marina Del Rey. And she said that she moved there because she wanted to be closer to the airport.
Well, I did go to college at LMU with Stassi, not at the same time, but and it was really close to the airport and it was pretty nice. I got out of town really quickly those times.
That's great. I wish her ease when it comes to travel.
Me too. Get those flights.
Artisan Cheese Gallery.
Studio City, Laurel and Ventura.
It's a great restaurant.
That's really my stomping grounds, Laura.
I know. That's right there.
I couldn't tell you the number of places I go right there all the time.
I love that stretch of Ventura.
Yeah.
I used to go to Artisan Cheese Gallery all the time. They have a great chopped salad. Mm-hmm. And then I was kind of slightly heartbroken to see that it's now being infiltrated by Jackson Brittany.
It's funny because I haven't been there forever, but yeah, I've been there for some cheese pickups, whatevs, platters with my aunts during the holidays. I never really was big on it there, but it's just a very iconic signage right there. And to know that, once again, they were so close to me and so far, it was pretty exciting. You know, something that I'm not going to get into now is I'm really grateful about how many Bravo celebrities I've encountered in the wild here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just trying to will more Vanderpump versions, because I've been in plenty of situations with proper celebs and I really don't give that much of a fuck, or I would never document. But with these people, I just basically jump into their arms.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
That would be nice to have
it. I feel so comfortable.
Be just like living your life in the valley and then all of a sudden Jackson Brittany show up to do important business research.
I'm hungry, but like something I like about going to amusement parks even more than going to them is just being able to eat like a jalapeno cheese stuffed pretzel or whatever. Like I like barked kind of whatever. My grandma's from Kentucky, like Brittany, rest in peace. And so I'm just saying it's shocking to me that I don't salivate for beer cheese more than I do. But when I was waiting for the visual, I know they've talked about it before, but I thought that they were going to bring out like a steaming dip that looked pretty like decadent and bomb mm-hmm. in a Super Bowl kind of way. And instead, they brought out, like, it looked like the fucking cold-pressed garlic all tight in the cold
container. It was like a Trader Joe's container of, like, cheese. It was a pre-packaged. It wasn't even, like, made at the restaurant.
Yeah, it wasn't like the restaurant created it. No.
It was like they bought it and then took the top off, peeled the plastic back.
Put a bunch of carrots around.
Like, they didn't even think, like, hey, we'll take it out of this and put it in, like, a little dipping bowl to make it look like it came from this restaurant.
Duh.
That was crazy.
It was really weird.
That was one of my favorite. That was maybe the highlight of the entire Jackson Brittany Take Kentucky show. Was the beer cheese moment where they just brought out a beer cheese from a grocery store at a restaurant.
It's so crazy.
So Jackson Brittany revealed that they're launching a beer cheese company called Mama's Beer Cheese.
And I told Mama, we're going to put you on a map. We're going to put you on the map.
So they have to do a bunch of market research, which that's where Artisan Cheese Gallery comes into play.
Why don't you just try a bunch of cheddar cheeses then? Why are you trying all these cheeses you know you're not going to use?
Yeah. Like, you're not going to buy some, like, expensive cheese and have that be the base for,
this is the soul. I'm so sure.
Where is Mama's Beer Cheese going to be sold? Like, how does one buy that? Like, it's not going to be sold in, like, high-end cheese stores. It's not going to be sold at, like, Whole Foods. Is it just going to be sold at, like...
No, we don't want it there. It needs to be it could be at Ralph's.
It's going to be at, like, a regular grocery store.
And that's more money, honestly. But then it's not, because it's not necessarily more people buying it.
A beer cheese company.
I mean, it's definitely not, like, going the gastropub chic route of Tom Tom, but it could have fit into that kind of vibe. And I don't know if that's what they're trying to push by going to Artisan Cheese Gallery, but they're truly using, like, Kirkland extra sharp cheddar, which is fine. So just go use it.
But I'm just confused at, like, where they decided that there was, like, a gap in the marketplace that they needed to fill with beer cheese.
That's what I'm saying, though, about Brittany's extraordinary brand potential. She sees the way snack foods and Southerners.
What if she, like, gets, like, crazily rich off of this beer cheese company?
She would be suitable for a biopic.
Also, I feel like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, why does Jax need to be involved in the beer cheese company at all?
Because she's using business as a way to maintain their partnership.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
But I'm like, I...
To act like she's
My feathers
money.
Are ruffled. Like, the businesswoman inside of me, it says, like, you need to cut him out of this partnership. Why should he get this money? You're the one that got raised on beer cheese this whole time. This is your recipe, your family.
Where he's like, you wouldn't be on the show and you wouldn't have followers if you didn't fuck me, so...
So I get a cut of the beer cheese.
Which honestly I'm fine with. I mean, not the in terms of the language I use to describe the dynamic, but like.
That's, in the biopic, that's how it would, yeah. That scene would go down. The biopic of Jackson Brittany building the beer cheese empire that eventually leads to like a courtroom showdown.
Do you know the movie She-Devil with Roseanne and Meryl Streep? For some reason, I'm just getting massive Brittany vibes as like. She gets rich off the beer cheese and lives in like an estate like that in Kentucky where everything is. But this is all like kitsch camp dreams because really these people have such horrible taste that you could never actually have such a full fun.
I know. Like, I
the
really
production
want,
design would have to be uglier.
Yeah. I need like Brittany. I want to like, if we're going to have to deal with this as like the Vanderpump rules that we're being served universe, for like the next. Like 24 episodes.
Wow.
I would like to be put into a coma and then woken up in like 10 years when Brittany has like divorced Jax and made it like huge.
Yeah.
And then just like
marries
let's live
a
in
country
that
star,
world.
Yeah, like, marries a football player.
And is like Kardashian level famous and has like brought a whole new sense of glam to the world.
Totally.
Like I'm done with this like. Just this like bullshit.
It's such a bullshit thing.
Jax God, thinks it's a great undone. Idea.
I know goes, him reacting. I know, and I was laying there once again with Brian, and he hates cheese. I'm thinking like, hella people, bro. Like,
lots of people don't. That's
do you know
true.
What I mean? It's such a vegan moment. People are lactose. People just don't. Some people don't like cheese.
There was though when he said that, I was like, yeah, who doesn't love cheese?
I wanted it. I still wanted to try the gross one.
I know. I mean, the sad thing is, like when I see this, like I know,
you know
I'm
we
gonna
would try.
Buy. I'm going to buy the beer cheese, but I won't buy
Jax's
just add X.
Yeah.
I draw a line at like chemical mixers.
Uh-huh. Oh, wait, that was so bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did make me want to eat Taco Bell, though. Just their incessant marketing on Instagram for Taco Bell.
Yeah, I like thought about Taco Bell more than I had thought about it in a long time when I saw that. Jax and Brittany then proceed to have a psychotic conversation about the dynamic between James and Raquel, which is like their exact dynamic, which everyone, I guess, on this show suffers from like severe amnesia.
I mean, they should have cut it to be like a beautiful mirroring.
Yeah. Like literally, like where that's the thing, too, is like, I think that is also a big problem I'm having with this season is that. In past seasons, we've gotten like those beautiful moments where the editors just like troll the hell out of them.
Exactly.
And like there was none of that in this episode. And there's been none of that really this season. Like where are the editor trolls?
Where's the humor?
Where's the humor? Yeah.
Literally.
Where's the lol? Because I did
where's
not lol.
Where's the entertainment?
The one lol I had was James going, I'm a star.
That's 0.3 seconds into the episode.
Yeah. And then the lol ceased to exist. But Jax did have a good descriptive sentence about Raquel where he said, the mouse falls off the wheel sometimes.
Meaning that's her brain.
Yeah.
That's who he's talking about, her brain.
Meaning like she's a big old dum-dum.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious. That was making me laugh.
That was good. Everyone goes to brunch at Sir, and it's a great day because James is just DJing, and Jax doesn't know how to make a vodka grapefruit. Because what's in it again? Vodka and grapefruit?
Soda? Water?
What? And then Schwartz gives James the talking to, and then James, he can't not troll, and then he goes, everyone's making this a big deal, bigger than her, about Katie, which
know,
that was a
that
good one.
I mean, it's just like, at least James knows how to be on the show.
Yeah, he's,
you know,
playing,
I mean?
His role, the
play.
Role that they asked
they all
him
need
to play,
play. Like,
yeah,
it's not fun anymore. Like, I don't know, where was Lala? Maybe
Lala's like on a PJ with Rand.
She's fun.
She's fun and like silly and flirty.
Yeah.
And gets it. And everyone else is like, I mean, Sandoval's dad is fun and
he's
flirty
fun.
And
he
gets
parties,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, he's not even heavily featured in
wait,
that.
Sandoval's hat?
Oh. That hat was not okay.
That hat was a circumference of unspeakable proportion. Like.
That hat, I just like
that was
now,
Joanne.
That was Joanne, his Joanne moment. He's like, take my hand. Kristen's hair in their girls' night is giving me a lot of feelings, like thoughts, emotions. She just like has a really tough time when it comes to her hair.
She has a tough time with it all.
That look, the whole look I mean, was not great.
They dress horrible. They look but like, horrible.
A little ringlet curl, Shirley yeah. Temple hair that is would be like, cute. It's not the answer.
No. I mean, it would be cute if it was actually that too. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, if imagine her with like proper texture or something. Yeah.
There, it was just like really.
Stassi looked good last night. I was there with them last night at the Belmont during girls night. Stassi looked really pretty because the truth is there are so many styles of makeup, and that's what I like about it, and that's why I do like to talk about their different styles. Is there's different approaches, or it's like, oh, you have super beauty blogger makeup, or you have just very natural, you know, eco makeup, whatever.
Yeah.
Stassi compared to all of the super Instagrammed out makeup styles, and then like Dodie and Katie's just sort of missteps. Stassi looked really, really pretty.
Yeah, she looked great.
Classic and like.
I mean, I didn't love any of their looks like that much, but I also was like, okay,
not the clothes. Yeah.
What are like? I would just wish that they would go to like a very nice, expensive restaurant. Like on Housewives of Beverly Hills, they eat out at nice places.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it's like, yeah, like
even if you'd gone to like Toca Madera in those outfits, it would have been a little bit better than like going somewhere where everyone else is like casual. And you guys thought it would be really fun to like get crazily dressed up and then like go out to like a sports bar. I'm just like unclear on like what's fun about that.
Like, I know I said Musso Frank, but you could just go a number of places in LA that have some sort of affiliation with
the theme.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
because I personally would not want to go through all the energy to get that dressed up to then go to a sports bar.
Hell no. I also think that like the way they looked, like, I don't know. I want my own styling show.
I wish you would style them. Yeah. The guys are having a guys' night. Sandoval has his shaker. Because every guy behind the bar needs a special shaker.
It's like, he's so condescending.
He's condescending, but then there was a good shaker troll where he's like, don't touch that, man. And then, be careful, it's really expensive. And then he like shakes it and drops it.
Yeah. I like that too.
And then
I like Jack's talking rides about in. Anything being expensive. It's so like, it's so
like uncouth. I like what they spend their money on. Yeah. And then I want them to do that and like say
and
expensive.
Talk about it.
Like if at girls' night, if Kristen is like, I spent $1,000 on this dress, that would have made it interesting.
Oh, totally. Like we need the fucking
I need the details.
The sausage. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I need the trolls. Like,
yeah.
Are they just like, are they just giving, or have they wised up to like not giving the post-production people things to troll them with, like, or did they hire a
Impossible.
New post-production team and say like,
we're
this
stars
season,
now we're in
they're
Vogue
stars
now.
So we need to be respectful,
we're brands now,
like what is happening?
And it's like, if that's really what's gonna happen, you better bring in that second tier crew and troll the fuck out of them.
Yeah, someone like, needs to get trolled,
you know. So we need to see someone just be,
because they're trying to make it seem like these people are organically like funny and silly. Like when Katie was pushing like the blender and Tom was like, my head, Bubba, and then she like smirks and pushes it again, it's like, that's not comedy. And whoever thought that that was comedy needs to go to some sketch comedy training and get on an Ariana level.
they should pay you.
Yeah, like hire me as the comedy consultant for this show. Like, I wish I could be in the edit bay, because this was, like, not okay.
And I think,
like, there's no
like
quality
really
control.
They're going to really alienate their fan base, because I feel like they have this too much of an awareness of maybe now they're really having clung to this idea that lots of people who have are very talented themselves or whatever, like, obviously, like, us, like, love their show.
Yeah.
And it's, like, in some ways they're wanting to bypass the waiter reality show of it all and just become like their own Real Housewives Shaws of Sunset vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But even though Shaw's of Sunset has a lot of humor and editing trolls that they all know. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like a funnier show.
I'm also like, I want to know on like social media, like you guys, the readers, I need my readers to weigh in and like, are we like off base here? Are we on base? Like, I need some like confirmation of the...
The readers seem to be more critical than we are.
Really?
I mean, I don't know about this episode, but because I watched the first episode and I was sobbing, crying for Jax and Brittany. And it was so funny hearing you talk to Nomi about it and you come off so like cynical, and she's trying to like defend, like she's not trying to defend, but she's just sharing her experience, but then she basically has no words to describe why she would be emotional, crying at that, but like, I'm like, love like that's the only reason he would be crying about it. But I don't know. So, and then when I looked at the group on Facebook, I was like, oh wow, there's all sorts of angles being explored here that weren't, I mean, not to say that I wasn't thinking some of it, but I love the dedication.
Yeah, you love their love. You love love. Maybe I'm just a bitter Betty.
I love the love of anyone, and I love the dedication of your readers.
Yeah, I love it too. So yeah, fake or not fake, help me.
Yeah.
Help me make sense of this world that I've signed up
what
for.
Are we watching?
And that has become such a huge part of my life.
Right.
Brittany invited Raquel to girls' night.
Stupid.
And she says, I know what it's like to smile through it all and really be dying inside. And I was like, same.
I could not deal when Raquel is being like, he never speaks to me like that.
She says, he treats me like a queen.
Except
when he's drunk.
I know. It's so creepy.
Yeah. It's like Raquel needs to get a clue. Katie's pissed. She can't even handle Raquel being there, and she and the other witches
we have to go to the bathroom.
They have to go to the bathroom, and they really just go to a bar.
It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, like this is you're like mad at like a 23-year-old.
Yeah, little girl.
And then Katie has a moment where Raquel
sits down.
But do you
think they're mad at Brittany for inviting her?
I don't think anyone can get mad at Brittany because she's now like the queen bee of the show.
Yeah, which is sort of bullshit, right?
Yeah, like Brittany.
But once again, that power.
The power. She has the power. She has usurped. The ring. She has the biggest diamond out of all of them. She's going to have a bigger wedding than Tom and Katie did. She is a man who's the alpha of the group, essentially.
Yeah.
Like Brittany is now...
It
calling
is,
the shots.
It's Brittany's show.
It's Brittany's show and Brittany's world, and we're all just living in it. And that means that Brittany gets to say and do whatever she wants with like no real honoring of the fact that like 1 year ago, this was your life.
Yeah. And it's like, it is all it's like she is acknowledging that, but in the most weird way.
In a brush off way. And yeah. Acknowledging it. Because she can't not acknowledge it. Otherwise, yeah. It would be truly insane. But it's also like, let's just like walk it back and like relive like what exactly went down. Like
the videos or like the audio.
The so audio, bad. The like old woman caretaker situation.
I one time did drugs and stuff in a hospice room too.
Really? Whoa.
At Coachella.
At like Coachella in Palm like, Springs? In a hospice in Palm Springs, well, you partied?
Someone was like, oh, we could stay at my family's like place, but they didn't say that the family was like on, the family member was on hospice.
In their home.
Mm-hmm. But then we were having fun and stuff, but like we would just walk into the room and be like, whoa.
With the hospice person there. Uh-huh. God, I hope I don't die like that.
I was watching that, or like I was like filling someone in. I was like, yeah.
I want to know from other people, like, have you partied or fucked around like a hospice patient? Like, because I feel like now that I know two people in this world that have, there's more.
For the record, yeah. I mean, I think it was the second time going to Coachella, and I was like 17 years old. And the person that brought me there was somebody who was pretending to be much younger, who was like in her 30s, but was pretending to be like my 22-year-old friend.
Wow. Who came just as for the accommodations?
Whose hospice it was, oh. Or who had invited us to the hospice. But then imagine collecting three random friends to all go party. Like, all the people that were there with her weren't people who knew each other.
Yeah. And then being like, we're partying at my place.
Not even saying, yeah. Not
and then just there happens to be.
But that's the situation.
With faith, too, where I'm like, imagine being like sexting with someone and getting just like so horned up and being like, come over, like, get over here right now, big boy. And then they walk in the door and it's just like someone's on life support in the corner. But you're like just so horny. You just got to fuck it out anyways.
Yeah.
That's wild. That's a wild need to party on that your friend's part, and a wild need to fuck on Jack and Pace.
Pretty cool.
Jack's and Pace part.
I wanted.
So who else?
who else has been so desperate
to party and fuck that you did it around someone that's transitioning over to the other side?
Oh my god!
Write me. Raquel says that no one sees the James she sees. Blah blah.
I mean, it's like, ugh.
Katie feels like she's, quote, living in a twilight zone where monsters are able to say and do whatever the fuck they want.
So overwrought.
And I go, guess what? You are. Yeah. It's called Vanderpump Rules. Yeah. That's literally the logline of the show. Is a twilight zone where monsters are able to say and do whatever the fuck they want. And Katie decides that she's going to narc James out to Lisa and give an ultimatum.
Yeah, because the last one worked.
Yeah.
I don't want to. If I'm down to get married, and I would never do an ultimatum.
No, if you have to get married off an ultimatum, you probably shouldn't have gotten married.
You know what I mean?
Is my thought. I'm not into being like, you either do this. I mean, in some situations, I think...
You understand the practicality of that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I believe in, like, ultimatums in terms of, like, interventions and addiction talks and being like, if you use, I'm not going to be in your life anymore. That's, like, an ultimatum.
If you use, we can no longer get married.
Yeah. But not being like, you have 6 months to put a ring on it.
No, it's like, so
I would actually rather kill myself than say that to someone. No.
But also, I mean, in terms of saying it to Lisa, it's like, I understand. I actually am pro, I'm pro her being like, he's not allowed to talk to me this way at work.
Yeah, I like setting that boundary.
But given the world of the show, it is a bit like...
Are we supposed to believe that you, Katie Maloney Schwartz, receive a majority of your income off of going into work at Sir?
That's what I'm saying.
Multiple days a week.
Yeah. It's
and that
like,
an ultimatum that you say you're no longer going to work at this restaurant if James is there.
It's a matter of work, a job or not.
Like, yeah. Like, come on. Who is buying that?
No, I don't.
And like, what producer is like, yeah, like, let's make this the storyline. Like, come on.
I
feel betrayed.
You. Yeah.
I feel betrayed. I can't work on the show because it
of
would
your
be
ethical
like,
boundaries.
My ethical boundaries, and because also it's like the Grove. Like, I love the Grove and I want to go there all the time, but
there.
I never want to work there because that would take the joy out of it for me.
I've been really wanting to go to the Grove.
I know. Maybe we'll go.
Time of year.
Yeah. It's that magical time of year where we
I like to
simply
go to
must
white
take
chocolate
to the Grove.
Donut at the farmer's market.
I know. I want to go to like, I really am craving to go to Monsieur Marcel at the farmer's market. Oh, that French restaurant.
We love
last night
together.
I was like, once I get done working, maybe I'll just go to Monsieur Marcel and have a cheese plate alone. And then I was like, I'm not doing that.
You're like, I could do it, but I'm not.
Yeah. I can do anything
going,
I want.
I went to Harry Potter World and was like, I should come back here alone. And I was like, why am I like that?
I know. It's always like, I don't hate on doing things alone.
No.
I think it's cool, but there's some stuff where it's just like, okay.
But why do I fantasize about doing it more than I do it anyway?
I know. Like last night I was driving and the sunset looked kind of pretty and I was like, maybe I'll just go to a cliff alone and like watch the sunset. And then I was like, I have to like drop my, I have errands to run.
Yeah, like, you were like,
shut
up. Get a grip.
Yeah. Like I'm gonna go walk sweat up like a hill at Griffith Park.
Like there probably won't be parking.
Yeah.
Fuck
I
it.
Was like, no.
Keep your eyes on the road. I like Lisa yelling at any sort of staff at Sir. She goes, "What's a special?" And he goes, "Striped bass." And she goes, "Striped bass." She goes, "Is it fattening or not?" And he's like, "What is he supposed to say to that?"
Exactly, because Katie needs some. That's what I'm trying to
she's
say.
She's like, "I'm having lunch with Katie. Is it fattening or not?" Because she's triggered. I like Lisa going, "I'm scared." Katie sits down. She goes, "Hello, Lisa." And she's, I'm scared. Why should I be? Why am I terrified right now? It's like, you bitches, like, what is this drama?
I don't know.
This is non-drama.
It's non-drama.
And I'm here for, like, a non-drama, like, Hills-style moment. Non-drama
should be comedy.
But it should be comedy. And this is, like, truly, it's, like, pulling out eyelashes. It's torture.
I don't know. I don't want to take time away from a really important subject that we're probably broaching. But, like, I just want to say that I went to high school with Jax's main man crush from the Goldbergs sitcom, and Instagram deep diving that journey was just really rewarding for me as a pump head.
I love that. I love that Jax's love for multicam sitcoms.
It's keeping the industry alive.
It is. Like, he single-handedly is propping up
sitcoms almost as much as he loves hockey.
Yeah. Jax is, like, almost refreshingly basic in that way, where it's, like, a different type of bro basic.
I kind of like some of that stuff, yeah.
I like it, too, because, like, there was one point when he rode into Guy's Night on a stupid, like, scooter thing, and I caught a glimpse of his shoes, and I was like, oh, my God, is he wearing Yeezys? And for a second, I was so thrown, and I, like, kind of short-circuited. Then I rewound, and he wasn't. He was just wearing, like, random Adidas shoes.
But you don't
want to
see him in some... I felt like that even when he was talking about buying James Supreme boxers. I was like,
yeah.
What are you even doing around Supreme?
Because he wore those, like, knockoff Supreme sweatpants one season. But, like, he's just the kind of guy that's, like, he's just here to, like, not really take fashion risks. And he's, like, here to watch, like, multicam sitcoms and think about hockey all the time.
But that's, like, I mean, and some people probably relate and even feel ashamed to it, but that's what can be really relaxing about a certain type of archetypal masculinity.
Yeah. I mean, I like to watch someone that likes that, because, like, I so don't like any of that stuff that it's probably, like, someone that meets me who, like, doesn't like any reality TV, and then I tell them how obsessed I am with Vanderpump Rules, and they're probably like, freak. But that's how I feel about someone that likes multicam sitcoms and hockey.
Yeah. I mean, I'm available to ride on any multicam sitcom in the world. And but I was telling my uncle, who's like, whatever, he doesn't need a bio, but I was telling him about this podcast recently, I don't know, a few months ago, and I just felt, and then I thought his reaction, because he's like a nerd, like a media nerd, I thought that he would, like, I think of him as such an ultimate fanboy, that I thought he would have a lot of love for what you're up to here.
Yeah.
And he was, like, such an asshole to me about it. And I was like, fuck you, motherfucker. You don't even know how to go on a podcast. You don't even know how to open the app.
God. Well, like, you know what? Your uncle isn't my target demo, so.
No, and also, but that's, people, like, people have an attitude about Vanderpump as being, like, a lowbrow thing, and it needs to stick that to being a lowbrow thing.
Yeah, and it's, like, it is, like, such, it's a mirror to our culture and, like, the time that we're living in. It's, like, it's such a beautiful, like, almost like a time capsule moment, like, where I believe that this show, at least certain seasons of it, maybe not this season.
I was going to say, I think it's more past.
Yeah, will be remembered as, like, a golden age of something. I don't know what it is, because we're still so close to it. But, like, I need it to stay that. Like, what does it mean? I'm like, what does it mean about my life and who I am if this show starts to just, like, suck ass?
Yeah. Gotta get a new show.
Gotta get a new show.
This isn't the end.
This isn't the end, but I get just frustrated, and it causes a lot of existential questions.
I can imagine, because it's basically like being in a relationship that just turned on you.
Yeah. It's like, I watched the episode the first time yesterday and I was like, by the end of it, I was like, this sucks. And then I had to watch it again today to take notes. And I was like, I hate this. And it started to feel like this has never felt like a job until that moment. And then I was like,
you're like, I'm a beat reporter and here.
Yeah, here we are again. Like, can I get a quote from you? Okay. Lisa says, I don't like anything that makes a woman feel less about herself. Which I'm like, I could think off the top of my head at like 10 things.
Examples.
Yeah. And then we get a huge to be continued cliffhanger moment of like, what will happen?
Why did they make
and
it
it's
a
like,
cliffhanger? This again, is not. Did the editor change?
I think it did. Something has shifted and it's not okay. And I need some justice now and I need some trolls.
It's funny because like Andy Cohen doesn't have any sort of production control on this show, right? But then it's like, I just think of people like him being one of many people at Bravo who have such an understanding of like the how they build all these different dramas. And I'm just like, how could this be the best you've got for this group right now?
Yeah. This episode gets a D minus.
Yeah.
It had like maybe five lols in total and then a to be continued troll on the viewer, which is off brand.
About something that, hey, guess what? He's not going to get to work there.
Yeah.
Or like,
he gets fired, which you just showed us in the next.
Yeah.
Next so time on Vanderpump like, Rules. He goes, Lisa,
and he's
please.
Crying. So it's like, I'm pretty sure we get it.
Yeah, like, okay. And moving on, who gives a shit? Like, that is not what I came here for.
Oh my God.
So let's demand justice. Let's pray to the gods and goddesses.
That something happens.
That something
give us
happens.
Lala.
Yeah, give us Lala. Maybe Teddy's brother is going to be a real
I
wild
card. I think
there's
something interesting there. Meg Ryan knows that man, so there must be something interesting.
She's
there.
Married to him now.
I know, but to like the brother.
Oh. And then you met John.
She knows him biblically.
She knows him now. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, maybe this like Mellencamp brother will be the dark horse that saves
Teddy
us.
Teddy Mellencamp is such a fucking workhorse. Like, she was on Flipping Out too with Jeff Lewis.
Yeah.
She'll go on any Bravo show.
Do you get free shit though if you go on Flipping Out?
Well, she was just there making them be accountable.
Oh, wow.
But I did watch Lala and Rand on Flipping Out.
How was it?
Jeff was like forming an alliance with Lala. And
oh, yeah.
They had better taste than Rand, who was like sort of coming in cheap. I don't know if it was sort of to counter the narrative that he's like a sugar daddy, but it seems like they enjoy a really rich quality of life. So for him to be so cheap about the home stuff, it was like...
It's like,
But then it was funny because then he did make a number of nice modifications to the interior of his home with Jeff's help. But the roof on his large property is very sort of ugly. It's just more so outdated. It's very like vacation home in the desert, like thick Spanish but cheap roof. And so that's the next thing that they think really needs to change because Jeff's telling Lala, hey, it looks really good here. But the first thing you see is the roof. It looks like shit.
Is Lala moving into Rand's house?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're making some changes and it's going to be their house now. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, please keep me posted. Thank you so much for being my beautiful guest on this episode of Sup.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome back anytime, obviously.
Please save me for something, Lala, or for travel.
Yeah, travel
love
and Lala.
These abroad.
I'll take note. And tell all the readers where they can find you.
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at tstar7. And that's about it. You can read my new short story called Reseda, where Sheena hangs out in the new issue of Dazed and Confused. So there's that too.
Look it up, follow her. Throw her some likes.
Please.
Thank you for listening. And
let's go to fucking Tom Tom.
We're going to Tom Tom. Bye.
I know I'm feeling. Cause I know.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.